Praise God. All right, so we have been talking about some big words. We have been talking about the transcendent nature of God, and we have been talking about going beyond the natural. Everybody say beyond,
beyond.
The natural.
The natural.
Say I need
to see
beyond the natural. That's what we do as believers. I don't know if you knew that. That's what we believe. We are believers, right? So we believe in things that we cannot see. So so we've talked about different aspects of seeing beyond the natural. And our main kind of idea and our main kind of thought is simply this, that we serve what we call a transcendent God. Transcendent God, meaning that God is not, he cannot be measured by natural means. He cannot be measured. He cannot be described by natural words. God is there, and we try, right? There's a lot of things that we say about God. He is transcendent. He is above and independent from us, right? He is above and independent from us. Hebrews says that everything is upheld by the word of His power, right? That's the kind of God we serve. So we talk about God is my friend, and that's absolutely the truth. But in another aspect of that, God is God. And He is God, as the old Pentecostal preachers used to say, He is God all by Himself, right? And so He doesn't really, He doesn't need me to exist. He can live all alone, right? And His awesomeness, as I was talking to my South African friends this morning. And they go, you guys in America use awesome for everything. She goes, we use awesome whenever something is really awesome. I said, wow, you know what? Like marrying my wife was awesome. And so was that like hot dog that I just ate. You know what I'm saying? It's like we like say it for all different categories. But God is truly awesome. Awesome. How do you South Africans say it?
Awesome.
Say it like South Africans. Awesome. He is awesome. So God is. He stands out. When God told Moses said to God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And He said, "I am." That's all you got, right? I am. I am. Tell Him I am sent you. He is transcendent, but He is also what we call immanent. He is both transcendent and He is also immanent. What does that mean? He is actually immanent means He is involved in our world. So we serve both a transcendent and immanent God, right? And if we don't understand that, if we just understand that God's transcendent, how is that going to help us in our normal life? We'll have a skewed view of who God is. God is just all by Himself, and He doesn't really get involved with normal everyday life. Well, that's not true according to the Word of God. God encompasses or manifests in a material realm. He's both transcendent and immanent. Everybody say transcendent,
transcendent.
And immanent. Imminent. So we need to understand that both, they work all together. And so during this series, we talked about the subject of prayer. Prayer is actually reaching out to a transcendent God and bringing answers into the imminent. We also talked about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great example of the imminent nature of God, that God lives on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. We have help in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we started this topic on the subject of faith. And we want to talk a little bit more about that this morning. But in a little bit of a review, we talked about the story of Isaac, right? We talked about the story of Isaac. And we know this, most of us know this, a lot of us know the story. Abram and Sarah were both, you know, they were getting older and they were unable to have kids according to the natural. But God still promised, right? Still promised them that they would be the father of many nations, that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And as the story goes, Abraham heard the promise and laughed. Sarah heard the promise and laughed, right? And so because they were faced with the reality of what the promise would have to be something beyond the natural. And in Romans chapter 4, it says this. It says against all in verse 18, it says against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many, many nations. Just as has been said, so shall your offspring be. And watch this. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He faced the fact that his body... Faith is not denying the situation. So faith is not denying what the reality of your situation is, right? It is not denying the facts, right? He faced the facts, but he did something that you and I need to agree with as well. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Watch this. Yet. Everybody say yet.
Yet.
Yet. Yet. That's where the faith comes in, the word yet. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief. He did not waver through unbelief. That word there is actually staggered. Like you're staggered, like, I know none of you, but some people, when they drink a lot, they stagger. Amen? So they're not sturdy. They're not sturdy on their feet. They're not stable on their feet. They stagger. It's the same kind of word. So Abraham, even though he faced the facts about his body and Sarah's body, he didn't waver. He didn't stagger at the promise through unbelief regarding the promise, but strengthened himself in faith. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. It's a powerful word when you're talking about the subject of faith. He was being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Twofold there. He had the power to do what he had promised, right? So what we need to do is the same thing that Abraham does. He's the father of our faith, right? So we learn the things of faith. And we talked about the scripture right above that said that God, who calls those things as not as though they are, right? He calls those things that be not as though they are, right? By faith, right? So we talked about that God creates things out of nothing, right? That God creates things out of nothing. Because, listen, remember, he's transcendent. He's above your own power. He's above your power grade, if you will. He's above what your abilities are, right? So he is transcendent, yet he's immanent. And faith takes those things from the transcendent and brings them into the immanent. By faith, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith. We need to grow. I need to grow. And, I don't know about you. I'm assuming that we all need to grow in our faith. I mean, we all have room to grow. God brings, He brings the beyond the natural and makes them manifest. And it's interesting that he didn't, the difference between Abraham and a lot of times us is when he faced the facts, he was strengthened in his faith. That's the key. That's the change, right? That we have to make. That even though we see the things that we see those things and we see the quote unquote realities of our situation, of a situation, we have to see with our eyes of faith and not just our natural eyes. Parents, we need to see our kids through the eyes of faith. We need to see our situation through the eyes of faith. Some of us, we need to see our finances through the eyes of faith, and not just what your I was going to say your checkbook, but we don't use checkbooks anymore. But what your app tells you, right? So, and then people say, oh, I'm not going to preach my whole last message. I got to move on. Okay. Anyway, so that was last week. So, but Hebrews chapter 11. It's a podcast. You go listen to it. It was a lot better last week. So 11:1 says this. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is the confidence of thing we hope for and the assurance of things we do not see. We do not see. We have to go beyond the natural and see things through the eyes of the way God sees it and the way God perceives our reality. Amen? Amen. We talked about this. One more thing. And it's going to be important by where we go today. Faith is based on two types of knowledge. We talked about it last week. Knowledge of God's faithfulness, right? And knowledge of God's promises. Those two pillars, if you will hold up. You want to know if you have faith? How's your knowledge of God's promises? What do you know about your situation versus what is God's promises for your life? And then also God's faithfulness. Will God do what he said he will do? And really, it's the pillar of faithfulness that we a lot of times waver. Because we've heard every promise there is about the provision of God. Amen? We've heard every promise there is about healing for our bodies. Amen? We've heard every promise there is, about whatever that deal is. But will God do what he said he will do? Really, that's where we lie. That's where our strength needs to come. And so I'm going to talk about this morning, how do you grow? This is going to be a very practical message this morning. How do you grow in your faith. How do you shore up these two pillars? How do you shore up these two pillars? The first thing that we need to know is this. Your faith doesn't grow automatically. Your faith does not grow automatically. I kind of used this example before, but it bears repeating. I have a brother-in-law that is a bodybuilder. Some of you already know where this is going. Do you know I have the same muscles that he does? Like numerically. I have the exact same muscles as he does. The same muscles. Rachel's Uncle Bill walks around like this. Right? You know those guys, right? The big muscle, the muscle guys. You know, what's the name of that gym where it's the no intimidation gym? What is that? Which one is it? What is it?
Planet Fitness.
Planet Fitness, yeah. Yeah, so he's not allowed in Planet Fitness because, you know, he'll like body shame everybody, meaning me. So this guy is huge, is he not? He's huge. He's the guy that when he sits there, he's always got the shake, like the protein shake. Like in his, you know, I used to know a guy, he actually was third Mr. Universe. He used to go to our church. And he was gigantic. And I remember going to Waffle House with this guy. He sat by himself in the booth. And we all sat like the other side. I mean, he's a huge mammoth of a guy. Right? And I'll never forget sitting down. And he goes, and the lady comes up and goes, what would you have? And he goes, I want 12 eggs. She goes, what? He goes, I want 12 eggs. When they were in New York City on a, they were doing an outreach in New York City, like he was in the subway and like it was packed. It was like after a big event. It was after one of the big Christian marches or whatever that they did up there. And like the subways were packed. Well, they were about to be late. They had to get in this train. And so my old pastor, he goes, man, we got to make this train. So what he did, the guy goes, well, pastor, just get in front of me. And so he just went, and just pushed humanity all into this one train. And they all stood there, and like everybody was like, Matt, and until they looked at this guy, and they were like, okay, no problem. We're all good. So, but the point is, those guys numerically have the same muscles that I do. The difference is they work their muscles, and I don't work my muscles as much as they do. And I don't feed myself, come on. I don't feed myself what he feeds himself. Right? Those athletes that will show up today after our amateur football, especially the Georgia Tech was amateur football yesterday. The high school team, Georgia Tech, played a real college football team. We don't even want to talk about that. So I think the Braves scored more runs than the Georgia Tech scored points yesterday. Just a minute, just by faith. So anyway, Waymaker. Okay, they need a Waymaker. So, but anyway, what was I talking about? Faith. And the mass, muscle mass, right? Where's that going? Like muscle mass. Those guys, those athletes that you're going to see today, right? They work and work and work and work. You ever seen a football? I mean, they're just huge. I don't need to belabor this point. They're huge because they work on their muscles. Yeah. They work on their strength. It's no different with faith. Faith grows. If you don't grow your faith, he says this. He says that in Romans, he says that not being weak in faith, right? You can be weak in faith. Jesus said several things. He said, he told the centurion, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. Remember that? And then he says this about somebody else. He talks about somebody being weak in faith. Mm-hmm. And then he turns to the disciples at one point and says, how is it that you have no faith? So your faith level can change. Your faith level, what you believe, can change. You can waver in your faith. You can be a person of strong faith, and you can be a person of weak faith. And this, it's a two thing. It's either yes or no, right? So first thing we need to do is kind of be honest with ourselves and say, this is where I'm at. The truth is, I know all the promises. I know all the promises. I've been in church long enough where I've known all the promises. But I don't know if God will do it for me. Right? So how do we change those things? How do we work on those things? I'm so glad you asked. The first thing, and some of you have heard this, but listen. James says it like this. Let's not be hearers of the word, and deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves thinking that we're of such great faith until trouble hits. Right? He says, be doers of the word. So really it boils down to, are we doers? So as I read these things that you've probably heard before, let's remember, ask yourself, be honest with yourself. Own it. If this is you, own it. Because if you don't own it, you can't make changes. The first one is, how do you grow your faith? Is read your word. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The Bible is intended to build your faith. That's what it does. Listen what John says when he talks about Jesus. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, he says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in His name. The things that John wrote down, John on purpose, he goes, I wrote these accounts so that you would believe. And then we learn later in Romans chapter 10, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you read scriptures, you are taken in the truth of what God is like and what He's done. And it's a testimony to His character, right? When we read the word, it builds your faith. When you read the word, it builds your faith. If we're not reading the word, this is all an input thing, right? What are you inputting in your life? If you're only inputting the things that the natural, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be just natural thinking. You're going to be a natural thinking person, which is fine. You'll go to heaven, but you won't grow in your faith to be the person of faith that God's intended you to be. Let me just say this. We have an issue. I was sharing some truths with a lady, and everything she believed, here's the problem. Everything that she believed about God that was she was taught by Christians, you just want to go, can I just reteach you? Because you don't, it's not because of what you know. It's not because that you know the truth and you've rejected the truth. She knows this weird version of Jesus, this weird, condemning, mean, angry version of Jesus that she's been, the way that she was all related to, right? She was related to, this is what God is like, and, she didn't look the Christian part, if you will. Whatever that is, God help us. But she didn't understand. So it's almost like you have to go, no, God is good. He loves you right where you're at, right? Come on. But all she's been fed was nonsense that's not even the gospel. Like what she's been fed is not good news. That's what gospel means, right? So what happens is, like, people need to know the truth. Like, church, we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. The truth is what sets us free. And if we're not people of the word, the Bible says that Bereans, when the apostles would go and they would preach to the Bereans, it's a great scripture for us. They would go and preach to the Bereans. And they said, the Bible says about the Bereans that they were more noble than all the others. You know why? Because they just searched whatever they said. They just, oh, wow, that's good. No, that's not what it says. The Bereans were noble because they say, I don't know if I believe everything that you say. Yeah. Just because you said it. I'm going to go search the word daily to see if those things that Paul said are true. And the Bible calls them noble. I'll tell you this. You can be in that same category of noble if you search the word daily to see if what I say is true. Come on. Don't just believe it because I said it. And because I've been to Bible school and I've been a Christian all these years. Come on. They search the word daily for themselves to see if those things. Well, I don't understand. There are so many helps for you to understand the word. The Bible Project is a great place to go to learn. Great YouTube videos, the Bible Project, all kind of helps that you can go and read, right? About what does the Word say? What does the truth say? Read your Bible. And then you can actually read your Bible on your own. It's amazing, right? And there's every translation under the sun that you can learn, right? I remember back in my day, it was like my day. I can say it. When you turn 50, you can say my day. Back in my day. Back in my day, like, it was like King James, and that was it. Like, I don't even understand what King James. King James wasn't in my era. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to, sorry. That's the only thing he reads is King James. But anyway, but all I know is he's a lot smarter than I am. So I need, like, the New American Standard, NIV, you know, the Living, New Living. I mean, just it's all good. They don't have just the Living Bible. Now they have the New Living. That's easier than the Old Living Bible. Like, we can understand these things. Like, we strengthen ourselves by faith because we read the Word. Because we're people of the book. We're people that read the things that Paul wrote about Jesus. We're people that read those things that Mark said about Jesus. That John says about Jesus. We're people that read and understand the Word of God. And we know the promises. When we read it and we get it on the inside of us. No, I know. Like Paul says, I know in whom I believed. I know it. I know. I'm persuaded. Just like I talked about last week, I'm persuaded that mustard is awful. You can't take it out of me. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. Mustard is awful. So it's the same way. I'm persuaded. There's some things in the Word of God that I am persuaded on. You can't change my mind about it. Right? You can try, but you can't. You strengthen your faith by having a regular diet of reading your Word. Find a scripture. Find a Bible reading plan. If you don't have the YouVersion app, I think it's required to go to heaven now. That you have to have the YouVersion app. Like everybody has the free Bibles with every translation across the world. Great app. Find it. Get in there. Find a Bible reading plan. And find one. If you're dealing with parenting issues, find one on parenting. Don't go jump to end times, Revelation. Man, if you're having trouble with your kids, go read what the Word says about you and your kids and how you, because it's all in there. It's all in there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're not putting it in, we can't expect faith to come out. Amen. When you squeeze a sponge, whatever's in that sponge is going to come out. If you squeeze that sponge and all there is natural, only natural thoughts and natural thinking. The second thing we need to do is put the Word into practice. Put the Word into practice. Every aspect of our life. There's things in the Word for every aspect of our lives. When we choose, and let me say this about consecration. We need to consecrate our lives to the things of God. So when we look at, like, let me say it like this. When you become a doer of the Word, husbands, it doesn't matter how we feel. What does the Word say? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Right? Right? And all in women, that's the part of Scripture you can skip. Right? That's the part of Scripture that's just out there, right, for the men, right? That's for me. Then it talks about women. See to that you respect your husbands, right? Now, it's amazing. There are days, she's not here. There is days, now everybody's going to go talk to her, that I said. But there are days when I don't want to love my wife. You're like, Julie, how do you not look? Everybody's got their stuff, right? I've got my stuff, right? There are days when I don't want to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I don't feel like it. But you know what you do? You choose to love your wife. You choose to watch your mouth, to not to say all the things that you feel like you need to say. Well, I deserve to say this. Well, she deserved this. She said this, but I'm going to say this, right? Well, you learn to tame your tongue, like James says. Speak words of kindness and love. Husbands, love your wives. How does Christ love the church? I'm acting a fool and Jesus still loves me. Right? Come on. So what is that like with Christ loves the church? When you submit yourself, consecrate yourself to the Word of God, to the things of God, yeah. It's amazing because people say, man, you just must have, you met your soulmate. That's why you're so happy together. Garbage. Don't insult me because it's taken work to have a good marriage. It's taken selflessness to have a good marriage. It's taken things that I wanted to say but I never did say to have a good marriage. And she'll say the same thing against me. Not against me. For me. With me. She'll say, there are times you... Right? It takes work. Don't give me you just have a good message. You just married the right one. There are days when I didn't think I married the right one. But I love my wife as Christ loved the church. And you know what you find out? You learn the faithfulness of God. You know why? Because His Word works. Come on. We have a great, wonderful marriage. Because we implement the things of God into our marriage. We don't live by what we feel. I don't live by what I see. I don't live by what I think. It's all faith. When you have... oh man, I could so go somewhere. But just I'll step there for a second. Just because you have feelings doesn't mean you need to act on every feeling that you have. Come on. You can have feelings for somebody else. Come on. I want you to hear me. And not act on those feelings. Because you're committed to God first. Amen? I'm committed to who God is first. And my commitment to God restrains me from doing some of the crazy things that I want to do just because I feel it. We live in a world of feeling. Do whatever you feel. Whatever you feel, do it. There's a book, and it's called Higher Power Has a Name. It's a great book. I encourage you to read it. It's awesome. It's awesome. And the idea behind the title of the book, he was talking about the title of the book, and the title of it is Higher Power Has a Name. Because in our culture, that people just believe in a higher power, right? You just believe in a higher power. Well, if there's no name, once you put the name of Jesus to that higher power, all of a sudden, we all know what the constraints are to that name and what the obligations are to that name. If it's just a higher power, I just worship a higher power. That means I can just do whatever I want. Once you put a name of Jesus to that higher power, all of a sudden, you're constrained, right? But the great thing is, it's the truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? He says, you want things to go well with you? He says, build your house on a rock. You know, building your house on a rock is not some weird... Jesus talks about it. Who are the people that build their house on a rock? People who hear the word and do it. Not just people who hear... It's people who hear and do it. So what do? By faith, I trust the Word of God that this is the best way for me to live. Amen? And it constrains me to do. Once you do that, you'll see God start working in your life like never before. You start constraining yourself. And you start, husbands, you start loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Things change in your marriage. Right? Joy comes. Different things. I mean, God is so, it's just practical. It works. It works. Next thing is, surround your people. Surround yourself with people of faith. That's real important. It talks about, as the days get weirder, that's my translation of the scripture, as the days get weirder, all the more gather together. All the more be a people of like faith. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. A companion of fools suffer harm. You can grow in your faith. People, I love to hang around with people of faith. I love to hang around with people who are stronger in faith than I am. It challenges me. Makes me want to grow. Their faith actually kind of rubs off on me. I've been hanging around with Wiley Gammon for a little bit. Oh my gosh, it's been so great. I asked him, I said, will you just mentor me in some things that you have in your life that I need to have in my life? Man, it's been great to hang around with people who are just full of faith. It stirs me up. I love it. Find people who are stronger in the faith than you are and go buy them dinner and go buy them coffee. Please, will you just meet with me? Talk with me. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be set up, by the way. Mentoring is huge. It stirs your faith. The next thing is, listen to podcasts and read good books. Listen to podcasts and read good books. Constantly be feeding yourself. Constantly be feeding yourself. Right now, I have a favorite. I go through, how many of y'all go through like seasons of your favorite person that you listen to? Anybody do that? Right now, I'm on a Christine Kane, and I feel like that I'm just about to explode. I'm so excited about life. She's amazing. She's just an amazing speaker. She's like my go-to person on if I'm going down the road and I'm listening to podcasts and you hear me shouting, it's because I'm listening to Christine Kane. She's amazing. Also, some of my favorites, I like Craig Rochelle. I like John Eldridge. Read C.S. Lewis. My daughter's Bob Goff. Tozer. Smith Wigglesworth. Kenneth Hagin. All these great people of faith that you can read and read through. All these things. I've learned how to love God more. I've learned how to grow my faith. I've learned how to be. I learned how my prayer life is better because I continually feed myself. Feed myself. So, and also, you know what else I do? I brought these from home. These, I talked about these things. I talked about how I put these little notes, like on my bathroom mirror and then on my desk. And then this one's on my desk on my computer when I study. It says, preach like you know that they almost didn't come. That's really good. Preach like you know they almost didn't come. That's what I think whenever I prepare my messages. And then I have this one. This is what this one says. It says, and it's on, this one's on my bathroom mirror. It says, my life belongs to God. Daily I seek him. He daily directs my steps. I know his voice, and he leads me into his perfect will. That's there all the time. I'm reading that all the time. It's in front of me all the time. This one says this. I like this one. This one's good. It says, I am strong and mighty. I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of me. I am a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. I'm a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. Amen. I saw that from Greg Rochelle. This one says this, my confidence is in Christ and Christ alone because his spirit is within me. I can do everything that he calls me to do. I can do everything he calls me to do. Everything. It's reminding me all the time, all the time, all the time. You know why? Because faith doesn't come by accident. Faith comes on purpose. You grow your faith on purpose. And then I just found this. I didn't find this. I found these 10 things to like a, they call it like 10 things of a happy life or whatever. But it says this. It's actually really good. It says this, and just good reminders. Serve people who cannot and will not ever be able to serve you. Serve people who cannot or will not be able to ever serve you. It's great. Care more about who you become than what you do. Care more about who you become than what you do. And then it says, collect experiences, not things. Then it says this, descend to greatness. Descend to greatness. Humble, right? Talk about humility. Then it says this, live in the now. Be in that moment. Live in the now. Spend time abiding before abounding. Spend time abiding before abounding. Helps me remember, stay close. I got to stay close to him before I just go do whatever. Adopt a we get to do this attitude. I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to pastor a church. On days I don't want to pastor a church, I get to go, nope, I get to do this. I get to do this. Choose courage over comfort. Choose courage over comfort. Embrace, this one's tough for me. It's called, we embrace the wasabi life. Wasabi life, actually wasabi is a Japanese deal, and it has to do with not everything has to be completely perfect. Right? Not everything has to be completely perfect. And all you perfectionists say, Unless you do our books, then I need you to be perfect. But we can, like, embrace that life. Like, not everything has to be perfect for you to go about and do it, right? Yeah. Right? Because if you don't, you'll just stagger yourself, right? And then the last one is simply this. Obey the Spirit's promptings. Just obey the Spirit's promptings. And so those things, they're always there. They're always there to remind me, like, who I want to be, who I want to become, what kind of person I want to be. And they go, and they're in orange, so I can remember to see them, right? They're not in pretty little script. They're kind of ugly, and they're just, my wife kind of hates them because it makes our bathroom not look as pretty. But I'm like, this is my life. It makes me look prettier, so, because I read them all the time. Right? I got to keep it right there. I got to keep it so I can see it constantly, reminding myself who I am. Because I don't know if you realize this, the world will try to steal it out of you. People of unbelief, they'll try to steal it out of you. And just reading books and keeping myself fed. I just want to include, and just, I'm not going to cover all the things of prayer and faith and all that, but this is a great book on the subject of prayer. Why don't prayer get answers sometimes? What's the deal with all of that? This is a great book. It's called Moving Mountains by John Eldridge. Could not want you to read that more. And then lastly, this. Speak God's word. Speak God's word. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you speak the word, what are you doing? I'm actually hearing it. I'm actually hearing it. When I speak it, I'm actually hearing it. And it builds my faith. It builds who I am. These are actually out there in the lobby if you want to grab one. I said, and I would personalize these for the Word of God. It says, I let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. As a member of one body, I am called to peace and I am thankful. According to Colossians 3:15. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. He gives me power, love, and a sound mind. I have power, love, and a sound mind. Speak that over yourself, right? Agree with God's word. Stop talking unbelief, please. Stop talking unbelief. Stop talking unbelief. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go police everybody. That's we used to do that back in the day. That's a bad confession. Well, it is, but just relax, right? Abraham faced the facts, but he strengthened himself in faith, yeah. Right? Say what God's word says. Speak what God's word says. You may say, things are going terrible. You know, I got laid off and I'm feeling discouraged, but I know God is the strength of my heart. I know God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon that's fashioned against me shall prosper. And like poverty is a weapon that's fashioned against me. It will not prosper in Jesus' name. Not over me. God calls me for an abundance towards every good work. I said, David, how can you just quote those scriptures like that? Because I do it all the time. You know, when we started this church, my confession over this church was, we will have an abundance towards every good work. And what have we done? We've built a mill. We've built a mill in Africa. We built a road just recently. We've given cars away in this church. Because God has given us abundance towards every good work. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen? Yeah. It works. It works. God's word work if you work it. James chapter 5, and I'll end here. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. See that? We can't use the excuse, well, that was just Elijah. He was just anointed. No. He said he was a man just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for the land for 3 years, 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. God is able, but we have to pray. We have not because we ask not. And sometimes we ask and then just, oh, I'm out of my heart. There's so much in my heart. But don't quit. Don't quit. Hold on. Hold on to the promises. Abraham waited 25 years between the promise to the fulfillment. Joseph went through all of that stuff from the dream time God gave him a dream through all those years of trouble, hardship, and looks like it's not going to happen. But he continued to be faithful to God, and God eventually brought him to the promise because he didn't give up. He didn't just collapse in a prison. Woe is me. God just doesn't love me anymore. God didn't answer my prayer. God's dream wasn't real. No, he strengthened himself in faith, continued to do what he's called to do, and God came through for him. Amen? And you wonder, and I'm not going to look at anybody, but we wonder why we have so little faith. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take effort. But if we feed our faith, we'll starve our doubts to death. And we won't be the out of shape Christian, but we'll be like Rachel's Uncle Bill in the Spirit. And we'll be strong in faith. We won't be weak in faith. We'll be like that centurion that looked at Jesus and says, no matter what, he goes, you know, he says, hey, I'm a man under authority. You're a person under authority. He says, I say go, and they go. He says, if you just speak the word only, Jesus, my servant will be well. That's faith. If you just speak the word only, I know he'll be well when I get back. Are you confident in your faith this morning? Are you assured in your faith this morning? You can be. You can grow from no faith, then get to weak faith, and then begin strong in faith. You can grow. But it's going to happen. Remember, we have faith in a transcendent God. We look beyond the natural, and we bring those things from the natural into the reality. That's how you were saved. You confess the Lord Jesus, and you were saved. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And because you did that, you became a new creation. Did you see it? Did you feel it? Nope. But there's something on the inside of me that I know. I know in whom I believed. Amen? Worship team, if you want to come. Let's all stand together. Don't you want to grow in your faith? Just bow your heads. Don't you want to grow in your faith? Don't you want to experience everything that God has for you? While your heads are bowed, I want to read the scripture over you. Sometimes faith is walking through really difficult times. Sometimes when you've been knocked so hard that you feel like I can't even see straight. Sometimes faith is walking through that difficult time. All those emotions and those why me questions. Isaiah chapter 43. Let me read this over you. I feel like some people need this morning. Isaiah 43 says this, but now this is what the Lord says. Notice he stops. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. You hear that? Listen, maybe that's you this morning. You're passing through the waters. Trouble is everywhere. He says, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, it will not sweep over you. It won't sweep over you. It won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Yeah. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God. You hear that? I am the Lord, your God. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So what is that? What do you do with that? You go to your computer, you print out a little thing that says, even as I pass through these waters, God will be with me. If I pass through the rivers, I will not be swept through. Yeah. Even though I'm going through this fire, I will not be burned. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. God will redeem me. God, you will rescue me. God, it's you who works for me. in Jesus' name. And I will not live by what I see. I will live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Depression has to go in Jesus' name, because I'm a faith person. I see things the way God sees things. In Jesus' name. Say this. Say, God, you will be with me. When I pass through the river, they won't sweep me over. Come on, say it like you mean it. When I walk through the fire, I shall not be burned. Even though the flames come on me, I will not be set ablaze. Because God, you are my God. In Jesus' name. Say this. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. But I will trust in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.